Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. And I want to challenge you in these 40 days of joy to go public with your joy juice. You know, you got to get the Jesus joy going. And my daughter, Rebecca, coined the term JJ. So what that means is Jesus joy. And anytime one of her children or anyone around her is acting a little ornery, she said, you need to get some JJ, some Jesus joy. And then, you know, going public with your worship and thanksgiving to God is an amazing feeling. If you haven't done it yet, it's pretty cool. I was at an airport not long ago, and I just kneeled down and began to worship, lift my hands up, and we were all waiting to get on the plane. And it was kind of interesting because there was some Muslim family just on the other side, and they were staring me down, but I was worshiping Jesus right there. And, you know, it's really kind of cool. And going out in the mornings, seven or eight different street corners, just getting down on my knees and thanking the Lord like this, and cars coming and going, and people pulling up, waiting to cross the street. And they're like, one guy the other day, I'm like this, giving God thanks and praise. And he pulls up on his bicycle. He's got all of his bike gear on. And he looks down at me, and he picks up his bike, and he moves on the other side of the pole because he didn't want anyone to think that we were together. I mean, I could feel, I'm like, he's like, I'm not with this guy. I don't know who this guy is. But you know what it does? Can you imagine if every believer in America were to take four or five opportunities wherever, Walmart, in the aisleway, at the grocery store, street corner, and just kneel for 30 seconds, give God thanks and praise for all that he's done for you. You don't have to be loud or verbal, just lift your hands up. It would cause a huge reaction across the nation. So just want to challenge you with that. And you get the joy of the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's not easy because you feel these penetrating eyes looking at you. And it's a bit intimidating. But I thought, you know what? Phooey on that. I don't care. What can they do to me? Throw an egg at me? Yeah. You know, so what? I do recommend that you don't close your eyes while you're doing it. Keep your eyes open in case flying objects come your way. But I have to say, I've had not one person swear at me or, you know, anything. Like, I've had people honk, going, nee, 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 nee. I'm like, yeah, I got you, brother. You know, but I haven't had any negativity, so thank God for that. Thanks for praying for us. T and I enjoyed our time, although the weather was, I know you're not going to like this, but the weather was not that good. You know, I know you don't feel sorry for us. It even got down in the 40s. Yeah, I know. See, I can't get no sympathy from you. My son Lou and Rachel and the family came down to be with us for a week, and they had one day of sun, and it was all rain and cloud. I felt like I was in Ohio. I couldn't even ride my motorcycle. One time. See, you all feel bad, don't you? I'm going to have to go back again. Make up for that. But next year, oh, Lord, I can't wait a year. But anyway, thank you for your prayers. We appreciate that. Been doing some nightly broadcasts, and if you aren't on Periscope, I've been putting them on my Facebook page just to encourage you, and I hope that you'll tune in. Many people have, and they've shared them, and I'm getting some great responses, and I get some negative, but that's all right. Not everybody's going to like you. Look at somebody and tell them that. Say, not everybody's going to like you. Now look back at them and say, well, I haven't made up my mind about you yet either. I haven't made my mind up about you yet. I may not like you. It's okay. Don't worry about it, you know. Don't worry about it. But I was sharing about the joy of the Lord, and I pray that you would have great joy. You are the gatekeeper of your mind. If you have thought today anger, resentment, bitterness, you know, maybe you felt vengeance, any of those thoughts are of not of God. And if they're in your mind, you've allowed them in there. You're the gatekeeper. So you think, well, they made me think that way. If they would have done that, they wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be thinking like this. No, you opened the gate and said, come on in. So we have to be good stewards. And speaking of stewardship, it's very important that we understand joy and stewardship are linked. They really are in the Bible. You know, there's a parable. Jesus said a man gave 10 talents to one, 5 talents to another, and I think Was it one talent? One talent to the third. And he said, go and do business till I come. And the five or the ten got ten more? I can't remember. No, five, three, and I don't know. You know what I mean, though. I'm getting confused. Huh? 5-3-1, right? Yeah. Okay, I feel like I'm calling signals to hike the ball. 5-3-1. Omaha. Yeah, Omaha. There you go. Anyway, the five multiplied and got ten. The two or three got five or six or whatever. And the one, what did he do? He buried it. Why did he bury it? Because he thought, he allowed thoughts in his mind that his master was a hard man. Because he had the thought that his master was a hard man, he buried it. So when the master came back and he saw the one that multiplied it and the other one multiplied it, he said, this is awesome. And he said, the last one, he said, take away and give to the one who multiplied the most and send this person away into, well, let's not talk about that, but let's talk about the one that multiplied his talent. Jesus said this, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Then what did he say? Enter. Enter. Come on, you all know your Bible. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting? Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know what that means? That means the joy of the Lord is a place or a condition that you and I have to go to. And we can get there. How do we get there? By being good stewards of what God has given us. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I'm persuaded. 80% of the church, or even more than that today, I think it's like 85% of the church, does not tithe or give offerings on a regular basis. Think about that. And 80 to 85% of the church is depressed. Walking around like, I wish God would do something. I'm feeling down. I need to go out and get a buzz. And we look for external stimulants to get ourselves happy. But look, Jesus said this, if you're a good steward over what I give you, you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want a new level of joy, begin giving to the work of God. Those people that gave of their hard labor and time to build those crosses the week before, paint those crosses, put those crosses in the ground. Let me tell you something. They have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because when you give into the kingdom, you enter into the joy of the Lord. But if you hoard and bury it in the ground and allow thoughts come into your mind that are not true about the master, you will not enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to go to a church that's happy. And I was seeing that in the foyer today. I'm like, oh my gosh, Troy must have preached you all happy. Everybody was out there, hi, how are you? Oh, give me a hug. And I'm like, this is awesome. I felt like we were in a happy place. I said, these people must be on drugs or something. They are like happy to see each other. Have you noticed that out there? I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't like going to churches that aren't happy. So you will be happy this morning. Okay? All right. So let's give this morning. Release the tithe. 10% belongs to the Lord. Give it to Him. Offerings above and beyond that 10%. Let's give to missions. Let's give to the world. Let's give water bottles to Flint, Michigan. You say, why? We don't live in Flint. They're our brothers and sisters. Let's bless them. Bring water bottles in. Let's be a part of this. Let's contribute. Let's be the salt and the light of the world. Amen? All right. Look in your neighbor and say, where's your purse? Look at your neighbor and say, where's your wallet? Can I borrow some money to give this morning? Just teasing. Come on, let's bless the house of God. Father, bless the gift and the giver today in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father, for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Go ahead and receive that offering. I want to say thank you again to Josh Cook for leading this cross endeavor. Thank you, Josh. All the other volunteers. I want to say thank you to Jesse Looks like we got a Cook connection here this morning. Jesse and the new worship team coming from DSM, Discovery Youth Ministries. Is that Discovery Student Ministries? I'm sorry. I got to remember what the DSM is all about. And they're going to be continuing to worship. I tell you, it's wonderful. When I see these young people worshiping like that, I'm like, oh God, you're going to make me cry. You know, it's just amazing. So I want to say thank you to that team. Thank you all the greeters. The greeters this morning were amazing. I loved you guys. You were like amazing. You know what you were doing? There were so many greeters out there. There are more greeters than people walking through the door. I'm like, I'm walking into church. It's like, who do I shake on? You just walk through like this. I saw one person. It was great. I loved it. They just walked through like this. Hello, 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 hello. As if they were slapping five to everybody, right? Isn't that good? And it ought to be that way. You should not walk into a house of God and nobody notice. It shouldn't be that way. Somebody ought to smile and be happy that you're here. Celebrate you. Because God's called us to celebrate. All right, have you had enough time to figure out whether you like the person next to you or not? You have? Okay. So if you've made your decision, I'd like for you to express that to some people around you. So I'm going to ask you to change your position, stand up, find three people and say, I like you. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Find three people, say, I like you. I like you, brother. All right, did anybody hear from anyone, I don't like you? No? Okay, good. So, just want you to know here at Church on the North Coast, we like you. All right? You know, it's easy to love people because God said you got to love everybody. But liking someone is a choice. And I like you. All right, let me share with you a couple of things this morning. And I'm excited because I found a quote the other day anonymously that was given. It said, make the mind of the master of your mind. And that is a powerful quote. Make the mind of the master of your mind. And healthy people have a healthy mind. You cannot have a healthy marriage without a healthy mind. And I believe today, too many people we eat junk thoughts. Like junk food. You all know what junk food is? Some of you do. Probably not many of you in here know. But why do we often, there's some. Isn't that stuff good? It's just crazy good. I mean, it's like, give me some Cheetos, man, popcorn, and Hershey's bars, and Sun Chips. How many like Skittles? Oh, man, aren't they good? Now, they're junk food. There's no nutritional value. I mean, it's junk food. And most of the time, we go for junk food so we can comfort ourselves. It's all about us. And often, we take in junk food thoughts because it's all about us. And those junk thoughts, you cannot expect to have a healthy life, nor can you expect to be healthy physically by eating that stuff. How many know that's true? I know it's not easy to admit, but say, I know that's true. Come on. You can't be healthy and all that stuff. So what does it take? It takes a diet. Don't you love that word? Is that a four-letter word? That's a bad word, man. Let's all go on a mental diet. What do you think? A mental diet. Now, when I talk about a mental diet, I'm suggesting that you wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to put my hand in the bag. Someone said it like this: it's not on my radar. I love key lime pie. Publix, grocery store, key lime pie, one of the best. How many know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness? Oh. But you got to get up in the morning, make a decision before anyone slices a piece and says, do you want one? You got to say, it's not on my radar. I refuse to dip into it because I'm on a diet. I want to be healthy. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16 tells us something that we all need to visit for a moment. It says, who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? There we go. But we have the mind of Christ. Say that with me. But we have, one more time. But we have the mind of Christ. How many believe you've received the mind of Christ when you were born again? Right? Okay. Does the mind of Christ have hate, prejudice, and murder in it? Okay. So if we have the mind of Christ and now we have hate in our thoughts, how did that get there? We allowed it in. And its source is what? Evil. It's evil. Now, this plays out in a lot of relationships, and I'm going to be dealing with some of them in the month of March or April, probably March, because we put expectations on our spouse, for example, and when they don't meet them, we allow thoughts to come into our mind to punish them. We give them the silent treatment. We yell. That's the opposite. Or we choose to point out flaw and blame. Have you ever had that experience where, if it wasn't for you, I'd be happy? Have you ever felt that way? Those thoughts are intrusions of evil. So if we have the mind of Christ, then any thought that is not Christ-like has intruded itself upon my mental capability, my thought processes, and what is it doing? It is creating my behavior. If that behavior is being shaped by a rogue junk thought, follow me, now I am no longer following after Christ because I've forsaken the mind of Christ, which produces the behavior of Christ, which ultimately will establish the character of Christ, which ultimately will fulfill the destiny of God in my life. But if I allow a rogue thought to come in that has its source in evil and not in Christ, it changes my behavior. It creates a bad habit. It alters my character, and it aborts my God-given destiny. Do you follow what I'm saying? People, I'm telling you this morning, we do not consider thoughts as being that vital. Let me illustrate. If you don't protect the border of your mind from rogue junk thoughts, you'll have to deal with the 23-year-old that was murdered by an illegal alien and rapist who crossed the southern border that was unprotected to the U.S. In other words, we become so arrogant as a nation, we think we don't have to build a wall, make Mexico pay for it. I know that sounds silly, doesn't it? We've got a southern border where we have over 10 million illegals. Many are good people. But what I'm saying is the U.S. has not protected its border. I don't know about Canada. I don't know about the Lake Erie, get in a boat and just come across and find somebody to pillage and rape and penetrate the nation or bring in refugees that are actually hidden within the refugee camp as jihadists. We don't vet them. In other words, what's happening in the natural is as a result of the spiritual world. You and I are not vetting our thoughts. We're not protecting our borders. You and I cannot permit rogue thoughts to enter into our mind and then cause us to be angry. Boy, you just made me angry at what you said. The only reason why they made you angry is because you allowed the thought to come into your mind. You and I cannot maintain our happiness based on what things happen to us. Our happiness is maintained on what we say to what happens to us. So you and I have got to talk to the rogue thought. We've got to talk to the rogue thought. What do we have to say? We have to say, look, I've got to put myself on a joy diet. A healthy mind produces joy. And in the physical, if you want to experience vibrant health, abundant energy, it's essential that you consume certain foods, certain drinks, and get the proper exercise. How many would say that's true? But how many of us do it? I know I'm messing with you now, aren't I? I say, you want Pastor Troy back, don't you? I mean, I'll put all your business. Now you want him back. Look, I want to show you something. Can I have my... I went to the store the other day and bought me some Doritos. Or Doritos. I didn't know what kind you like. So I got nacho cheese. Now let me illustrate something to you. If you could smell these. I don't know how they do this. I don't know how they do this, but just listen to the crunch. Isn't that good? Fresh, crunchy. I'm not going to read on the back what's in here, but I don't really want to know, and I don't care. I don't know why they put that on there anyway. Let me tell you, the people that eat these don't read that. Hey, how many have ever eaten a bag of Doritos and said, before I eat these, I got to read this? We don't want... Well, let me show you something. This is not... He's not playing. I want you to eat a bag of these, man. Just dip your hand in there and eat some for me. Oh, he's reading the bag. He's going to read the bag here. You're not going to eat any. You don't want any. I'll get over here to your wife. Okay. Mrs. Jordan. Live it well. Live it up, girlfriend. Let me look at it, she says. You want to look at that and see what's in there. Okay. There's more than three ingredients. That's bad. So anytime there's more than three ingredients, that's bad?
No, not always.
Not always, but a lot of the time.
You can read what it is.
What is it?
Oh, bad. Bad.
She said you can't even read it, but it's bad. All right, so you're not going to eat any this morning. Okay. Can I get a volunteer? No, like, really? Okay, can I get a volunteer to eat me some Doritos? I wash my hands. Anybody else? You want some? Yep, Doritos. Anybody else? Some Doritos. I went to church on Sunday and ate some Doritos. I mean, if you want them, you got to tell me. I want those Doritos! Okay. Why? Guard these with your life. Look, ladies and gentlemen, to lose weight, you have to say yes to foods that lead you to your goal. No to foods that move you away from your goal. We have the mind of Christ. We want to be like Jesus, right? So I got to say no to the thoughts that lead me away from being like Christ and yes to the thoughts that lead me toward becoming like Christ. You follow what I'm saying? So our thoughts are like the foods that we would take in. They're either healthy or they're junk. Now, joy is a state of mind. It's a condition. Okay, let's put our expectations up here. Let's put our experience down here. So you have expectations of this kind of marriage, but your experience is this kind of marriage. The distance between the expectation and the experience is how great of unhappiness you're experiencing. So the goal would either be to lower expectations or to raise the experience in order to maintain the joy or satisfaction in the relationship. But to do that, we've got to recognize what is causing the disconnect from God's expectation for our life and our present experience. What's causing me to miss the expectation that I read in the Bible and my present experience? What is it that I'm thinking? Now, let me ask this question. Most of us have 3 to 6 patterns of thought that we repeat over and over. If you were to assess or take inventory of what you think about daily, you would find that you have a cycle of 3 to 6 main themes that go through your mind, and a lot of them are triggered. Now watch this, don't miss this point. A lot of them are triggered based on what other people say and do. And then you just reach in the bag. Why? Because they made you. So, I come over to your house. Hey, good to see you. Would you like some coffee? I just got some key lime pie from Publix. I'm like, no, you did not. Say, yes, I did. Would you like a piece? You know, I appreciate your hospitality. I love key lime pie. But right now, I think I'll pass. Thank you so much for your kindness. Then what do they say? Oh, come on. One piece won't hurt you. Isn't that the way it goes? All right, give me half. Isn't that what? I'll just call you dumb and not the other expletive that I was going to call you. So I'll just say you're a dumb. Or you make me so uncomfortable. Instead of saying, you make me angry and mad. People in your life have a way of, by the enemy, seducing you into the consumption of a rogue thought by how they talk to you and what they do. Let somebody cut you off on the road, and right away the thought comes in there, give them the hand gesture. You're like, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? It came from hell. It didn't come from the mind of Christ. Or you just did something, and I can't believe you did this, and that hurt me. You rejected me by doing that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reject you back. Don't call me. Yeah, you'll see how it feels when you need something. Try calling me. Ha! I ain't answering the phone. That is a rogue thought that comes from hell. Christian? Come on. So I've got to be mindful of these things. I've got to be conscious. Awaken! Awaken our minds to what's happening, and we're being controlled. Our thoughts then create behavior, which produces a habit, which forms a character, which distorts our destiny. Are you following me? Man, I want to live with the joy of the Lord. I don't want to lose my joy based on something someone said or did. I have to put up the fence. Here's what David said in Psalm 51:10-12. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast away from me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. What had happened to David here? Why was he losing his joy? Does anybody know why? Sin. He had sex with Bathsheba, a married woman. And he's repenting. And he says, Lord, I'm so sorry. Create me a clean heart. I repent. That was awesome. He said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. To restore the joy means he lost the joy. And the way we lose the joy is rogue thoughts or active disobedience to God's word. I can't be disobedient. Why? Because my joy is at risk. Then I have to rely on Valium. Or a six-pack. Or some wine with dinner. Just to calm the nerves. Listen, you got the joy of the Lord. You don't need that. You'll be the life of every party walking in the door. Hey, hey, how you all doing, man? You go, Jesus is good. How do you get this state of mind? Look at it with me, Philippians 4. I want you to read it with me. Will you do it for me? Okay, here we go. Ready? Read. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, 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 whatever things are of, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy. You got a Philippians 4, 8. It. Look at the next scripture in the Message Bible. Ready? Let's do it. Read it. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. Let me give you a definition of joy. You might want to take a picture of it. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. Joy is the settled assurance that God's got this, man. I am not concerned about it. Secondly, joy is the quiet confidence that everything ultimately is going to be all right. I've got a quiet confidence that everything's going to be all right. That's what joy is. Joy, what is it? It's the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Determined choice to praise God in every situation. So no matter what happens around me, it's not happening to me because I've been redeemed. And devil, you can't touch this. I've got the mind of Christ and I'm on a mental diet. I'm awakened in my soul. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to seduce me with a rogue evil thought. And you're trying to alter my behavior, which ultimately will become a habit, which ultimately will change my character and abort my destiny. I refuse in Jesus' name. You and I have got to get that in our spirit. I believe it is. My joy is not dependent upon outward conditions of the physical and material world, but rather on the inner condition of my mental life. I have to ask this question. Come on, church, I'm learning this, you know. I wish I'd have had this down 30 years ago. Man, people like mess with my joy. I'm all happy coming to church. I'm happy. And then they say one thing, and I'm like, I'm not happy now. Boy, that's weak. You dipping in the bag, Caton. Get your hand out of the Dorito bag. Right? That's what we do, though. Well, I don't know what they said to me. So what they said? You protect your border. Don't let it into your mind. You're the gatekeeper. Bible says in Proverbs 4:23 that guard your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it flow what? The issues of life. Did God say, I'm going to guard your heart? He said, no, you guard your heart. So guard your heart. Yeah, but they shouldn't be doing that. That's right, but God will take care of them. You take care of yourself. You maintain your joy in every situation. praising God in every situation. Here's the question I want to ask everybody. Are you healthy in that place in your mind, or have you been dipping into the bag? And I'm going to present four bags. If you could put the slide up, four bags that we often dip into. There's many more, but these four are predominant. Somebody says something to you, and you pull out your ugly bag. Now, you were nice. You were nice until I said that. Then now you go in the ugly bag, and you come out ugly. I'm like, I didn't know Jesus was ugly. I didn't know Jesus thought ugly thoughts. But you're a Christian, and now you're ugly. Why? Because you're dipping into the ugly bag. Watch this. If it's not ugly, it's the worst bag. You ever hear anybody say, well, the worst case scenario? Yeah, I don't like really hearing that. I want to know what the worst case scenario is. I want to know what the best case scenario is. I don't want you to infuse my mind with what the worst is. Good, better, best, never let it rest, or good turns to better, and better turns to best. God's got this. Joy is knowing God's got this. Everything's going to be all right. God's got this. Somebody shout it with me. God's got this. Or we dip into the bag, not only of ugly and worse, but I hate that one. Negative. Negative. Why? You just don't want to be here. You don't presuppose what I'm doing. You don't know. Look, the way you judge me is the way you would judge Christ, because I have the mind of Christ. So don't be negative. Well, we're just not going to make it. Shh. We can't do that. Shh. The Bible said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Don't dip into the bag of negative. Come out with a negative thought. Or you come out with curses? Dang nabbit! Is our children's minister, Clay, what was the name? Jay, Minister Jay. Dang nabbit! Go for the gold standard of faith and stop settling for the bronze. But I'm going to tell you right now, the cost or the price has to be paid in advance. So when you get up in the morning, you have to declare and decree, I will not allow a negative word to come out of my mouth. I will protect the borders of my mind. I have the mind of Christ. No intrusion or rogue thought shall enter my mind, because I am the gatekeeper, and out of my mind flow the issues of life. Therefore, I choose joy. So, oh, you don't have to do all that. Right, because you think you're all that. It's like America. We don't have to protect our borders. It's just whatever. We don't need to vet them. Ah, whatever. They're good people. Until your daughter gets gang raped by 15 Muslims. I mean, it's in the news. I'm just repeating you what I'm reading. But I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not talking about naturally. I'm talking about spiritual rape. Spiritual aggression against the body of Christ. How? Through evil thoughts. Well, I hope this year I can get to how to be delivered from demons. You're looking at me weird now. You say, well, Christians can't have demons. That's true. But a demon can have a Christian. Come on. They'll take you for a walk when they want to. We'll get to that some other time. I think I need two lifetimes to preach all the Bible, huh? There's too much in the Bible. That's true. Certain comfort thoughts have to be relinquished. Counterproductive habits have to be abandoned. This is a good one. Tenured excuses surrendered. Tenured. In other words, the excuse you've been using all these years, give it up. Some of us use our history. Some of us use our finances. Some of us use our parents. Come on, give it up. tenured excuses why we give it up. What kind of thoughts nourish your soul? Think about it. What kind of thoughts nourish your soul? What kind of thoughts distress your soul? So, if I'm looking at my month and I've got too much month at the end of my money, and I start thinking I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, that doesn't nourish my soul. Yeah, that's reality. No, that's not reality. That's a fact, but it's not my reality. My reality is my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's my reality. My reality can change the fact. And so now I've got to make a choice. Rogue thought, go on a diet. No, we're not thinking that. We're going to be healthy in this house. So get the Doritos and throw them in the garbage. You know, get rid of them and don't give them to your neighbors. I don't want this good food. I don't want to give it. Throw it in the garbage. No, throw it in the garbage. They don't need it. Watch. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, it's not what a person says as much as what he thinks as who he is. Let me just let that rest for a minute, because, you know, that scripture is pretty interesting. A lot of people say, man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, as a man thinks, so is he. We know that part, but the other part of this verse says, this is the explanation of it. Hey, come on over. It's great to see you. I'm glad you stopped by. That's not necessarily who he is. It's what he's thinking. I can't believe this jerk came over here and interrupted my day. Oh, hi, come on in. Come on in. That's really what that verse says. The verse says it doesn't matter what you say, it's what you're thinking as to who you are. A lot of Christians are like, praise the Lord. What you thinking? I love you, Pastor. What you really thinking? Because I know your behavior ain't love. Ooh, that just hurt. Ooh, that hurt. That stab in the back hurt. But you just told me you love me. As a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. So we need to expel the counterproductive and embrace the productive. What thoughts have you been thinking that aren't working for you? Are you happier today thinking those thoughts? No. Do you have a better marriage? No. You see, whatever thoughts that haven't been working, let's get rid of them. So I'm not going to think those anymore. Yeah, but it's so hard. No, it's not, because you had the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not the person to say it's easy not to eat Doritos. You know, you're sitting on a couch, you're watching the Cavs get whatever. I ain't going to go there. Like, I was upset. So where them Doritos at? I'm upset. I'm going to comfort my being upset. We get upset, we want to comfort ourselves. So, nobody loves me. Does that make you feel better? Yeah. They're so mean to me. Does that make you feel better? Yeah, it makes me feel better. I'm gonna slap her in the face. Does that make you feel better? Release the need to hang on to thoughts that haven't worked well for you. I'm going to close on this. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. I know you know this scripture. You all are Bible scholars, but listen. One last time. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Stronghold is an established sentiment or thought in our minds. Watch. Casting down what? Arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Come on, read this one. Bringing. Then verse 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience. You and I have a choice. Let me explain this. Put it up on the screen. You have a choice to think the excellent, or you have a choice to think the mediocre. It's your choice. You and I have a choice to think focused thoughts or scattered thoughts? Focused thoughts or scattered thoughts? You and I have a choice to be compassionate or release harshness towards others. Since we started this 40 Days of Joy, one of my goals is not only to be on my knees and go in public in my joy level, but to try to make at least 3 or 4 people smile every day. So I don't know, wherever I'm at, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Wow, that's an amazing looking dog. Or whatever. And they go, oh, thank you very much. I said, you're welcome. Boy, you're happy today. I said, I'm happy every day. Why are you so happy? Let me tell you. You have a thought. You have a choice to either thought be innovative or to be common. I don't know. I think you're one ahead of me. There you go. Innovative or common? Innovative or common? Innovative or common? The other day I was trying to hang a television on the wall. I got it up. And then Tina bought me a shelf that goes under it, that attaches to the wall. And I got it up. I'm like, this is amazing. I am mechanical. And then I forgot to plug one of the cords in the back of the TV. I'm like, okay, because I got a bum shoulder, see. Can't lift more than 5 pounds. So I thought, well, I don't need to wait till Tina gets home. I could do this. So I took the TV with one arm, balanced it with my bad arm, and lifted it off and pulled it, and it got too heavy and I couldn't hold it. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I said, well, I'll set it on the shelf that I just put in. But I didn't read the instructions that it only holds 15 pounds. So I laid it on, I was being innovative. I laid it on the shelf, and guess what? Everything went to the ground. Pulled everything out of the wall, wires yanked out, fell down to the ground. I sat down in the chair and I almost cried. I said, God, I can't do nothing. I tried so bad. I took a picture of it. I sent it to Tina. I said, look what I just did. She said, that's all right, honey. You'll get it. It's gonna be fine. And the Lord said, what about that sermon you're preaching about Sunday, that be joyful in all things? I said, God, not this thing. Woo! I did get it back up, though. I patched all them holes, tore out a hole like that in the wall. Patched all that up, sanded it, painted it. It took me 2 days to fix it. When I walked out of the bedroom, I'm like, don't walk too hard on the floor. I don't want nothing to fall. Innovative or common? Came up with some ideas of how to fix it. Number 5, loving or indifferent? Number 6, be constructive rather than destructive. Be helpful, not hurtful. Be successful in your thoughts, not failure. Tina was so nice to me. It took me 3 days to do a job that somebody that knew what they were doing would have got done in an hour. It took me 3 days by the time I had to fix the holes, paint everything, you know. She knew I was like just trembling. I felt so bad. And I'm like, I just can't do anything right. I'm down on myself. So I get it done, and she walks up to me. She gives me a big hug. She looks up at me. She goes, I'm so proud of you. You did an amazing job. And I said, I know you're just saying that. She was helpful, not hurtful. She was successful thoughts, not failure thoughts. She didn't come in there, boy, you are stupid. Look what you did. Think security, or think rather opportunity, not security. Some of us only want to think thoughts that make us secure. But take a risk. Do some risk thinking. Take opportunity. Think giving, not getting. Think serving and not self-centered. You know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's kind of like Mark 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. Think abundant thoughts, not lack thoughts. Think responsible thoughts, not irresponsible. This is a powerful one here. Think reconciliation, not retaliation. So that next morning when I get on the message thing, I said, man, I just wrote that message and I can't be retaliatory. I have to be a reconciler. And sometimes these rogue thoughts are so real. I mean, you know, when you do some bad eating, have you ever done that where you gain some weight? Anybody ever gain weight in here and you didn't want to? We gain weight, right? We're like, whoops, how did I do that? You got skinny clothes, fat clothes. You know what I'm saying? We all have that. And you look at yourself in the condition and you think, that's not me. But it is you right now. But it doesn't have to remain you. So you can have the feeling of retaliation. It's not wrong to have the feeling or the thought of retaliation. It's the fact that you will misplace, or you will replace the retaliatory thought with the reconciliation thought. Number whatever it is. Think principle thoughts, not popular thoughts. Those 3,600 crosses out there happen every day. Every day. Not just, listen. A young girl someone told me about, Mary telling me about, she's 14 years old. She had the IQ of Einstein. She went to Harvard at 14. She's graduated, got multiple doctorate degrees. She's brilliant. She's discovering all kinds of things in science. My question is, for the 50 million that were aborted that would now be 40-some years old, which one would have discovered the cure for cancer? You see what I'm saying? And we have to look at, don't think of popular thoughts, think of principled thoughts. I was grieved on January 22nd, and I'm going to say it, when your president and my president came out every year since his presidency and praised Roe v. Wade and said it's the best thing that ever happened to America to protect women's health. You know why they say that? Because they've been convinced it's a tissue and not a life. Because you cannot say that if you believe it's a baby. Don't think popular thoughts. Think principled thoughts. I know I got a little political there, but you'll excuse me. Someone asked me the other day, who are you going to endorse for president? I'm like, does there have to be one of them? Think positive thoughts, not negative thoughts. And the last one, think the promises of God and not the problems of this world. Behavior is birthed in the seedbed of our thoughts. Let me say that one last time and I'm going to quit. Behavior is birthed in the seedbed of our thoughts. Behavior is birthed in the seedbed of our thoughts. If your children are misbehaving, It is because they are thinking rogue thoughts of evil. You say, well, how do they think like that? Those thoughts come from everywhere. So we have to help them to counter those thoughts with truth. And it'll change their behavior. You modify a person's behavior by how they think. How they think. You have created an entire terrorist organization around the world that will behead innocent people and enslave women for their own sexual gratification because they've been taught to think they are not worthy of life. It's in the thinking. So behavior is birthed in the seedbed of our thoughts. The mind, man, I want to preach this too. I can't do it today. The mind is the placenta of the spirit. You know what placenta is? Placenta is what gives blood flow to the baby. Placenta is what nourishes the baby. The mind is the placenta of the seed thought, the thought that comes into your mind. The thought that comes in, the mind is the placenta that will birth into your spirit, man, behavior, which will ultimately produce habits, which will produce character, which will often abort destiny. So we have to understand, if I put in the right thought, it'll nourish the kingdom into my spirit, and I will become more like Christ. How many want to be more like Jesus? All of us, amen? All right, praise God. Whew. Where's Pastor Troy? Is he around? Right there. Come here, Pastor Troy. He's going to close the service. And then, the reason why you're doing that, because I'm tired. And I got to run. I got to get to the other service. And I want to say, those of you that want to help us with Avon, it doesn't mean you have to leave this church. You can just go over there and help. Get it started. Work behind the scenes. You don't have to attend there. You can attend here. But you need to help. Help us plan another ministry, which we're hoping to open in March on Resurrection Sunday, the 27th. Because people out there need Jesus. Matter of fact, didn't we? Rebecca, Wednesday, was in Avon Lake High School. No, Junior High. What school is that? Learwood Junior High. And taught 6 health classes on the antivirus out of the book of Proverbs. Met with the principal at Avon Junior High this past Friday. And this is what he said to her. After reviewing the curriculum and talking to her, he said, "This curriculum is more important than algebra or history. We've got to teach our kids these truths." That's what he said. Isn't that amazing? And so I'm just thrilled about what God's doing in the Avon Lake area. And God's given us hundreds. I think there's 400 in Avon Lake students. How many do we have? I know it's costing $10,000.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot. And yeah, now exactly. All they want all of Avon.
All of Avon.
Which is hundreds more of students. They're going to get this teaching. And you need to support it, okay? So give your offerings toward it. Help us to reach this generation with the truth of God's Word. It's exciting times we live in, right? Bring somebody to church next week. If you're suffering here this morning from depression, constant anger issues, negativity, hate, prejudice, whatever might be lodged in your thinking, you can be set free from that. Pastor Troy is going to tell you how. He's going to pray for you. And thank you for allowing us to be back. And we look forward to hanging out again with you next week. We'll talk more about gratitude. A thankful person is a joyful person. And I'll share with you how to be thankful in all things. It's been good, I'll tell you. Pastor Troy, God bless you. Love you all.
Come on, give it up for your pastor. He's a powerful man. Let me tell you how powerful his influence is. I just want to brag on him for a second. I prayed the other day when I was leaving the event. I said, Lord, give me a double portion of what Dr. Kayton has. Because you looked around and you saw his kids there, and you saw generations deep out in sub-zero weather putting crosses in the ground. And I thought, man, that's the kind of influence that transforms personal lives, families, marriages, communities, nations, globes. I said, God, give me some of that. Give me that, Lord. Give me that kind of influence. May I be that consistent in my leadership for the rest of my days. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet as we close in prayer today. Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward quickly. As Pastor was discussing, there's only one source of joy this world knows. It came about 2,000 years ago, this source of joy. It crashed into the earth, it plunged across into the earth, and the Savior spread himself on that cross to provide joy to the world. If you've never experienced this joy, if you're struggling to experience this joy, this is your day, this is your time. Let's close in prayer. Father, in this moment we come to you and we thank you that if we come to you, you'll receive us. If we call out to you, you hear us. Wherever we are, you know. You know. And so, Lord, now in this moment, we surrender our lives to you, and we ask for the joy of the Lord to fill our hearts, our minds. We know, God, that you're the only source. You're the only source sufficient that this earth knows. So we come to you today. Thank you, Jesus, for surrendering your life that we might have eternal life. We call upon your name now and know that you are faithful. You are faithful. Anger, depression, frustration, bitterness, all must bow its knee at your Lordship. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you want prayer, we want to pray for you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I pray that you were blessed. I pray that you realize that you have the mind of Christ, that you have a choice in what you think. And remember, don't let the lies that other people think about you become your truth. So let me just pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every single person who's watching this webcast, whether they're watching it live or whether they're watching it on a replay. God, I thank you for them. I ask, God, that this week you would I just decree a breakthrough in your life. I decree in Jesus' name just health and peace and joy in your life. Whatever it is that you need, know that God truly will supply all of your needs. Whether that needs mental, whether that needs emotional, or whether that need is physical or financial, God will supply every need. You just got to think that God will, believe that he will, have faith that he will, and then expect that he will. In Jesus' name, God bless you all.